CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, we set this time aside every weekday afternoon to do this very thing. And that's to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and to really examine, are we following the traditions of men or really what the Bible says? And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. And we got some lines open. You call right now, you're sure to get on, and you can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest, and just returning from the Philippines, we have with us Pastor Joe Jackson, senior pastor of Sure Foundation Fellowship, Kiau, Hawaii, just south of Hilo, Hawaii. Just take the Highway 11 towards Volcano, and when you come to the Y, Highway 130, towards Kalapana, you just take that little Y there, go down the road about 5 miles, church on the corner with a white picket fence. Joe, so glad you're with us. Joe Jackson, hi and welcome.
Yeah, good to be back here on the island and good to be with you, Pastor Mike. I look forward to today and jumping into God's word as we look at different questions that people have about this world or maybe something they saw on YouTube or heard in a sermon. We love to answer those questions for you. And I always enjoy this time as well with you, Pastor Mike.
Always a blessing to be with Joe. And, a lot of people, Joe and me go back quite a ways. We were on our way up to a tower site and we're sitting at a stop sign in my truck and we get plowed in the rear end. A girl fell asleep driving her car. In the middle of the afternoon, she'd worked, I guess, all night on some graveyard shift, fell asleep, and hit us about 30 miles an hour. And so we go flying all over the car. We were crash test dummies, I guess. We were bouncing around. But we survived, and we're able to jump on the bumper, straighten out enough so it wouldn't rub on the tire and go on up to the tower site. But no, it's always exciting. Joe, you always are up to something. You're just getting back from the Philippines. What's going on?
Yeah. So it's a great trip. We were there with a ministry called Compassion Child and just got to see this ministry and how they're helping really children, but not just children, the whole family in poverty. And I'll be honest, Pastor Mike, when the very first time I ever went to the Philippines, which was a few years back, when I first got there and I saw how little the people had, you know, my heart broke and it went out to them because they had so little. But I realized that those who had a relationship with the Lord, even though they had a little bit, because of the simplicity of their life, they had a peace and joy that we don't always experience here in America. And so then all of a sudden, my perspective kind of changed. Instead of being sorry for them for having so little, I realized that we in America have so much, and yet we have so little because there's so many people that don't know peace and joy and contentment that doesn't come from stuff. And so it's just awesome to see that no matter where people are at in this world, no matter what they have, what true prosperity is a rich relationship with Jesus Christ. And even those that have very little, when they have Jesus, man, they have everything. And so we got to witness that. We got to see people that had Jesus and these churches they were plugging into and this community they had and joy and peace that came from the Lord.
That's really good, Joe, and I'm glad you're back with us. And again, hope you're not too jet-lagged out. Thank you for being on the program today. Joe's got a fairly large church, and so for him to come and be with us, I really appreciate that. And we look at some questions that you have, and we'll do our best to answer those. Again, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We're going to go to the phones. We have Mike on the line in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
How you doing, pastors? Now, I know that there's going to be people out there trying to get points. They're trying to get likes on the internet. There's people probably wanting to write books and maybe get on the movie or some kind. Do you believe in out-of-body experiences? Do you believe afterlife experiences, people coming back and seeing hell or heaven?
I believe so. I believe, and you know, it's interesting. The Bible actually talks about this. Paul the Apostle, He says, I was caught up in the third heaven, beheld God in his glory. Now, there's not three heavens. He was making a distinction there because he's addressing the Greek, you might say the Greek-Roman culture. They believe one of the heavens is where the birds fly. They're, you know, the atmosphere. The second heaven was the stars, moon, cosmos. That's where the planets are. And then the third heaven is where the gods dwelt. And so he said, I was caught up in the third heaven and beheld God in his glory. Now, the thing is, whether he said in the body, I don't know. Whether out of the body, I know, don't know. But we remember that Paul, because he was ministering the gospel, he was seized by a local crowd, a mob, and taken outside the city and stoned to death. So God brought him back to life. And many people believe that was when this experience may have happened. Paul, after it's done, stands up, dusts himself off, and goes right back into the town where he just got drug out of. Boy, I'll tell you, Joe, that's some kind of commitment, ain't it?
It is. It is. And it is interesting to see that Paul speaks about being caught up in the third heaven. That's in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4. And so we kind of see this maybe out of body experience. But at the same time, Paul also warns us to test everything and not to go beyond what God has revealed in Scripture. And I do think there can be some people that, I don't know, maybe have an experience or even maybe make up a story to gain followers, to gain an attraction. And so it's just so important that with these things that people maybe share about an out-of-body experience, does it align with Scripture? You know, there is even a story Jesus tells about a rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man dies, and he wants to go back to warn his brothers, but the Scripture says once you're here, you can't go back. And so we see that too, that once you're here in the place Hades where he was, he couldn't go back. And so it's just important that when people come and they claim to have this out-of-body experience and now are proclaiming on God's behalf, is it aligning with Scripture? I do believe that God can use some near-death experiences to draw someone to himself. He certainly can do that. But our confidence about heaven and salvation and eternity comes from Jesus Christ and from his word. Pastor Mike?
Well, yeah. And again, there's a lot of books that are out in the different bookstores and stuff about, you know, I died and went to heaven. I saw golden puppies. Well, you got to be careful of that because, you know, they go to the moon on this stuff. And, you know, the Bible says we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when there was a book several years back where this guy said he went to heaven and the angels were riding a dog around or some crazy stuff like this, that you just kind of throw that stuff out. But what we do have is we do have what God's word says. And we do know that there is a life hereafter. It is not soul sleep, as some organizations say. The Bible very clearly teaches absent from the body, present with the Lord. Of course, our flesh, this old tent, this thing that gets wrinkles and old and sunburned and all those things, yeah, it's going to go into the ground, but your spirit departs. In fact, we remember two different instances. Elisha praying for a little boy, and it says his spirit returned to him, and he came back to life. It doesn't say it woke up inside of him or something like that. And we also remember Jairus' daughter in the New Testament, this religious leader. His daughter was grievously ill, and we remember he tried to get to Jesus, and this is where the woman that had an issue of blood and everything. And so finally, by the time Jairus got to Jesus, his servants came and said, don't trouble the master, your daughter's dead. And Jesus heard it and said, let's go anyway. So he goes, and the wailers were there. They were all weeping and crying. And he said, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. And so Jesus went into the house and he put all those people out. He only kept his disciples, a couple of his disciples with him. And by the way, you want to laugh at the things God does? You won't see the things God does. And he put them out. Prayed for the little girl. He said, daughter, arise. And the little girl came back to life. And the Bible says her spirit returned to her. And he said, give her something to eat. And so I think it's really interesting to me as I look at this, that we do know that when that time of death comes, there's a separation of the spirit and the body. And again, the Bible says absent the body, present with the Lord. So, but our flesh, this tabernacle that we live in, we're going to get a new one. And we get that right before we come back to rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. The Bible tells us, and I don't believe anybody in heaven right now, because it's a spiritual place, I don't believe anybody in heaven right now is lacking anything. It's going to be great. It's great. The Bible very clearly speaks of it. But when we come to rule and reign with Christ, you know, Paul says, we're not exactly sure what we're going to be, but we know when we see him, we're going to be like him. And so we look at the resurrected Christ. We look at his resurrected body. He could eat. He could be touched. He could be hugged. Yet he could vanish out of their sight and appear behind locked doors. So, I go, wow, that's pretty cool. And so try to beat that on cops or whatever else. You know, we just pop in a room when they're committing some crime. Okay, you're busted. You know, so I how we're going to rule and reign with Christ, it's going to be pretty amazing. Jordan, last thoughts.
No, yeah, I just totally agree. I always wonder, too, like, even with Lazarus, there we see another example of him dying and Christ raising him back to life.
Yes, there it is.
Yeah, but not, we don't see it after the resurrection. After the resurrection of Christ, we don't see too many people coming back to life. And I think because if you brought him back to life, they'd be like, man, I was in heaven. I was doing good. Why'd you bring me back here? But so, yeah, it's just important that everything we hear from people, that it aligns with God's word. Pastor Mike?
I remember Greg Laurie said one time, he said, if I die and I'm laying there dead, he said, and you guys all start praying for me to come back to life, and I come back to life, I'm going to slug you in the nose. So I don't know. You got to take me back out of, take me from heaven back to here. No, I really believe that. I really believe that, that again, as the Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard what's recorded for those that love him, but he has revealed it unto us, the Bible says in the next verse. And we do get glimpses of what heaven's going to be like when we study the entirety of God's word. And so I look forward to that. And I think every person here should. And when you look at John 14, where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. We're not, when we get there, we're not going to be strangers. God knows we're coming. And that's what I, as a pastor, want to see is when we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that there's a little, on these great big tables, we're all going to be there at this marriage. I want to see a little RSVP right there with your name on it. That's one of the goals, yeah, I think, of a pastor, is to have as many people go to heaven as you can and to equip you to lay it for yourself, treasure in heaven. Mike, I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's, do you have time for one more?
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay. Do you think possibly now, looking down from the head of the great Christian.
Mike, your phone is, your phone, can you repeat that? Your phone cut out. I couldn't hear you.
Okay. Do you think that possibly what's happening in Iran right now are the, they're looking at Donald Trump as the great Satan, mm-hmm, the leader of the great Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that might be where Christians,
You're fading out real bad, Mike.
Okay, we'll call back. Thank you.
All right. And what I got, when you ask about, you know, long before Trump came along, they were stating death to America. This has been going on for almost 47 years now. And it is everyone, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you need to remember something. When they, now this isn't some kid in a back room in a closet on a computer saying death to America. This is coming from their high-ranking leadership, from the president of their country, death to America. Friends, that's a declaration of war. I don't know how, I don't know how you can interpret that any other way. And when they ride on their sides of their missiles, and I saw this myself, death to Israel. It was written in Hebrew on the side of one of their ICBMs. When they are bent on destroying a nation and they're very upfront about it, hey, that's a declaration of war. And just because we have had a couple of presidents in the past that really placated to the destruction that they have done, number one exporter of terrorism in the world is Iran. And we have to realize that. And whether it's Obama or Biden, all of them going even back before that, even put sanctions on Iran. And then, unfortunately, they would lift them because Iran would lie to America and say, oh, no, we're not building any bombs. We're not. And then, in fact, they were. You can't do that, especially with a standing declaration of war of death to America. So whether it's Trump or any other president, you're either going to fight them there or you're going to fight them here. And when they make a statement, death to America, friends, I believe they plan on keeping it. And if they would have had an atomic warhead that they could have put on their already in existence ICBMs, I think either Europe or we could be having issues. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if the ICBM, if the atomic warhead is made in Tehran, if it's made in Moscow, if it's made in China or North Korea, it'll wreck your day. So the thing is that we want to be aware, when they make a declaration of war, and Iran has formally done so when they said death to America, then I think they're going to get what they deserve. And this is one of the unfortunate things. And so whether you're looking at the Houthis, who they supply weapons to, Hamas, all these different groups that are around, we have to realize that we have a formidable enemy that if America was out of the way, they could bring about their Islamic caliphate to reunite the Arab world under Islam and take over the world. Remember, people say, oh, Islam is a religion of peace. It is not. And their book says so.
Right.
It's global conquest. Now, Buddhism, Christianity, Shintoism, all these different things, you know, the idea isn't global conquest. But in Islam, it is everybody. Now, you might say, well, I'm Islamic. I don't believe that. You may not. I know a lot of Christians that don't know what they believe. But when you study what true Islam is, when you really understand what the mullahs are saying, it's global conquest. And you just have to be aware of it. And I think we need to pray. I think we need to pray for peace, pray for the peace of Israel. But I really believe that, again, when we continue to see these ceasefires for the last 50 years that never work, it just allows them time to rearm, kick the can down the road until one of these days, somebody's going to get an atomic warhead, either off the black market or they invent it themselves, and we're going to see a world very much different, I believe, in the very near future than we've been used to living in. Because, again, they don't know when they sent these things off where they're truly going to go. North Korea, you know, always brags about all the missiles they're shooting off. They go crashing into the ocean. Japan's upset because they're crashing into the sea right outside in Japanese waters. They just shoot them off like skyrockets. Oh, well, you know, wherever it hits, okay. Well, that's going to create issues. And, you know, it's a funny thing, everybody. When the Bible talks about in Revelation, every living thing in the sea dies. Oh, that's metaphorically speaking. No, it's not. And whether God does it or whether North Korea or these other renegade nuclear nations do it, I can clearly see how every living thing in the sea could die when these bombs go off in the water, polluting the fish eat the polluted fish, and then they die, and it's just a cascading effect. I believe that it's very, very real, and the Bible says it's going to happen. So I really believe that, again, as the Bible says, today is the appointed day of salvation. Yeah. You want to be about your Father's business. Hope that answers it for you. Let's go to Steve in Boise, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How may
good.
We
help?
Well, I just want to ask for myself and for my family. Mainly for myself, because I make a long story short, I've slipped back into a lot of temptation last Monday. I've been trying to seek God for the last couple few months, at any rate. I'm afraid of what's going on in this road. How I can see these signs that God is coming back soon.
Amen. Yes. I believe that.
I am having issues with my lustful temptations. I am married. I do a lot of listening to preachers on my Facebook account, and I wound up coming across some not very appropriate content, and next thing I knew, I started looking at a lot more than I would like to say.
Sure. Well, avoiding temptation is something that we in our Christian experience all have to do. And there's a lot of different ways to do this. And one of the best ways to avoid temptation is to avoid where the temptation happens. You know, in other words, if you're an alcoholic, don't go into a bar to get a Coke. You want to avoid, if you have a problem with drugs, don't go down in those parts of town where drugs are being sold on the street openly. I really believe that we have to do that. The second thing that I think, Stephen, is really important in avoiding temptation is the Word of God. Thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I would just really encourage you to think about that, because do you have a Bible?
I do. It's in storage.
Well, I'll get you. I want to get you a Bible, because that's going to be really important, because that's where we get our strength from, is from the Holy Spirit and the God's word that he's put in our heart. The Bible says the word of God is more powerful, stronger than any two-edged sword. And that's what you need in your life, is you need God. And the third thing I'll say to help avoid temptation is be in fellowship. So avoid where temptation happens. Be in fellowship and read God's word. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, and Stephen, I just want to encourage you. Just the fact that you're calling shows your heart to want to be more like Christ and change this area in your life, which I think is huge. And I think sometimes what the enemy can do is he can take our failures and magnify them, and he'll try to attach what we did to our identity. So like, because I failed, I am a failure. Because I messed up, I am a mess up. But the reality is, failure is an event and not a person. And this is what the blood and grace of Jesus is for. Number one, not only does it forgive our failures and our sins, but his grace also empowers us to overcome sin. And, you know, there are different tools. There's apps you can use to put a blocker on your phone. In fact, I know a guy in our church that was struggling with his phone and just things he was looking at. And so he decided right in front of me, he smashed his smartphone right in front of me, and he went out and he bought his dumb little flip phone. And so now he walks around with a dumb little flip phone. He hates the flip phone, but he loves the purity now that he has in Christ. And so even as Pastor Mike is saying, sometimes not putting ourselves in situations where that temptation is there is so key. But, you know, I just want to encourage you again, Stephen, to say, you know, sometimes as we're walking with the Lord, we'll take three steps forward and then we'll fall two steps back and we beat ourselves up. But the reality is we actually made progress. And so just as you keep working through temptation, this is something we have to fight with and struggle with until we meet with Christ, that we do have a sinful nature. And there's going to even be times that we fail, but we get back up and then we keep pursuing Christ. A righteous man may fall many times, but he keeps getting up and then pursuing Christ. And I think that's so key. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, Stephen, I'd like to send you out a Bible. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Well, if you'll stay on the line, I'd really be glad to do that. And the second question I want to ask you is, are you going to church somewhere right now?
Well, not at the moment. We've been been homeless for the last 7 months.
Oh,
and
I'm
we
sorry
just wound up getting into to a trailer, and just last week we was able to put it in a park. That's why my Bible and everything that I own is in storage right now.
I see.
And till about actually about 2 weeks ago when we wound up getting this trailer, me and my wife and my son have been living in a tent trailer, bouncing back and forth from spots on BML land since February.
Well, Steve, let me pray for you real quick, and we're coming up on a break, but I want to pray for you, and then stay on the line, and I want to get some address that you have, or maybe a friend's address where I can send you a Bible, and just encourage you, and then try to, point you to some Bible believing fellowships up in the Boise area. Father, we just lift him up to you. We just ask you that you would give. You'd give Stephen, Lord, a whole new life in you. And Father, that you would help him with these temptations, that you would deliver him from any bad habits. God, you'd watch over his children and watch over his family, his wife. And Lord, that you'd provide, as your word says. And so get him hooked up with a good fellowship that loves you. Help him read his word. And Lord, we trust you for great and wonderful things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stephen will be praying for you. Stay on the line, and we'll get your address and get some things out to you. We're coming up on a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
I want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Joe Jackson. He's the senior pastor of Sure Foundation Fellowship, Kiao, Hawaii, just south of Hilo, about 12 miles. Joe, what are you teaching on this Sunday?
We're going through the book of Psalms, and so I'm going to be in Psalm 130, and we're going to talk about the blessing of getting along.
That
God actually puts blessing when we operate in unity. And the reality is, as a church, you know, a church isn't a building or an organization. It's not even a denomination, but it's the body of believers. The church divided when we fight about styles of worship and what translation, whatever it might be. Divided, we're weak and ineffective, but united, we're strong and powerful. And that's what God desires for us as the church, is having that unity. So we'll look at that and talk about it.
Yeah, amen. And I think that's really important. Again, we always unite around Jesus Christ and who he is.
Yeah.
You know, so many people have so many different ideas of who Jesus is. You know, you talk to somebody from Middle Eastern religions. Well, you know, I'm Jesus, you're Jesus, we're all Jesus, cuckoo, ca-choo, let's all group together. You talk to different religions and they believe he's the brother of Lucifer. You believe, talk to others, they believe he's Michael the Archangel. You talk to others that deny even the existence of Christ. He was a phantom, he was a ghost, he was an essence, if you will. But the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1 that he was God. The Bible says he will be called Emmanuel, and this is the exact words in your King James Bible. This is exactly what it says. He shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That's who he is. And so I believe, again, that that's the preeminent thing to unify. See, as long as we don't have words defined, well, maybe we can all groove together, but the problem is the minute that you start defining these words, you find that they're completely different ideas of who God is, who Jesus is, what salvation is, what heaven is, what hell is, does it even exist, all these different things. And the problem is, if we don't agree in what the Bible says these definitions are, then we really don't have unity. And even though we might be under one flag using the same words, but with different definitions, we're completely divided. And so I really believe that, again, when we go into what I believe true biblical unity, it's surrounded by God's word that gives us those fences, if you will, gives us those parameters that we stay in to be able to have that unity that God loves so much in his church. And so, wonderful. Joe, sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
We're going to be studying God's word together as well in Twin Falls, Idaho at the River Christian Fellowship. And it starts at 10 o'clock in person, 10:30 on the radio on all the CSN radio stations, Mountain Time. And Joe, what time's your service this Sunday?
Yeah, so we have an 8 o'clock service and then we have our 10 o'clock service. And so if you're here on Big Island, we would love to have you. We're out here in KL. And if you look up surefoundation.church, you can find us and see where we're located.
Yeah, it's easy to find. And always a blessing, Joe, every time I've been there. So it's really, really a blessing. Back to the phones we go. We have Terry on the line, Bend, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Pastor. Hey, I got a question for you. I've been reading in Matthew and going back to the part where, you know, at the point of the Pharisees and everybody were pushing to have Christ crucified and telling Pilate, just crucify it. Our blood be on us and our children. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that point, once they've said that and done that, and do you think that would be part of the Israel's problem going forward all these centuries?
I believe so.
They rejected him?
Yep, they rejected their Messiah. You know, it's interesting, on Palm Sunday, Jesus stopped. He wept over the city. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you, as a chicken gathers her little chicks. I would have gathered you, but he said it's hid from your eyes." And I believe, as he saw that dreadful day when Titus came in 70 A.D. and leveled the city of Jerusalem, laid desolate for almost two millennia, I believe that again it was their day of salvation, and they turned it away. And so I really look at this as really an important part of understanding. And when they said, just crucify him, let his blood be upon us and our children, ha ha. Well, we find that that didn't go so well. And I believe that, again, it will not reverse until, as we read in Revelation, at the very time when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period to set up his 1,000-year reign on this earth, until they say, "Blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord," the Bible says they'll mourn for him like you would for an only son. I believe that is when they repent, and I believe that's when this will be lifted. But until that time, when you read all the way through the Bible, all the things that happened to Israel then, now, and what will happen during the tribulation period, I believe that, again, it's a very much an important part to realize that when you turn away your Messiah, that bad things happen. You know, when you turn away truth, you believe lies. When you turn away that which is true, you live wrong and you make wrong decisions. And that's why, again, as I share almost every radio show, today is the appointed day of salvation. Don't live in a lie any longer. Just because other people do, just because Israel does, doesn't mean that. Now, does that mean God's forsaken Israel? No, no, no. The Bible very clearly says he's not forsaken. They may have forsaken him, but he hasn't forsaken them, which always shows me God's so much better than we are as people. Well, that's the way God works. But no, I believe that there will be a time when Israel comes to their senses. All of Israel will be saved. That's basically not saying every single individual, but I'm saying as a general rule, the nation of Israel will finally recognize their Messiah. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In the Old Testament, we see this as well, that whenever Israel's honoring God and serving God, that God blesses Israel with leaders and with wealth. And then whenever they reject God, turning to idols or whatever it might be, you know, you see the Babylonians come in, the Assyrians come in, and all this havoc caused on Israel. And we still see that happening today. In fact, it's interesting, if as you read through the Old Testament, you'll notice that whenever Israel's in disobedience to God, God refers to them as Jacob. And then when they're actually living right, he calls them Israel. Just kind of an interesting point there. But even today, we see this, that they've rejected the Messiah. And because of that, there's been a lot of conflict with Israel. And even though we believers and Christians, we support Israel, it doesn't mean we support their choices. And the reality is, Israel is not a Christian nation. It's not.
No.
They've rejected the Messiah. And sometimes we treat them like they are a Christian nation. But the reality is, God's heart is still for Israel. And we even see this in the end times and the tribulation. God has a heart where 144,000 people convert and give their life to Christ. But the truth is that they rejected Christ here in front of Pontius Pilate. And tragically today, so many Jewish people still reject him. But even in this conflict and this trial, we see with Pontius Pilate trying to wash his hands, Israel saying his blood will be on us. The reality is the Romans didn't take Jesus's life. The Jews didn't take Jesus's life. No man takes his life, but he willingly laid it down for us. And then even on the cross, over his own people that wanted him crucified, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And just again, shows God's heart for his people to always extend that forgiveness and grace. But the truth is, not only for Israel, but for all of us, the forgiveness and grace is extended to us. But when we choose to reject it, there is a consequence to that. Pastor Mike?
Amen. And so that's what I think that we've seen there. And it is, you know, people can make all kinds of statements, but then when the reality sets in of what they have, their words, their covenants that they set into motion, they can be quite devastating. And so there's an old, years ago, there was a line in a song, and it was on a Larry Norman album, one of the first Jesus Movement albums out there. But one of the lines in the song was, "Be careful what you sign." And I would say that when you say, "Oh, let his blood be upon us and our children." And then as we watch the devastation over the centuries, we go, "Wow, God," it was their day of salvation and they rejected it. And there's a price to pay. But as you said, Joe, Jesus laid his life down as the Paschal Lamb to take away the sins of the world. And if we put our faith, hope, and trust in him, then we are redeemed. We do not approach God through the Ten Commandments or the some 637 of them in the Old Testament. We approach God in his righteousness. I go to heaven. Joe goes to heaven. We all go to heaven because he's good, not because I'm good. Right. In fact, there's so many people. I have missionaries that have come to my door and different people from different places and different religions. And I'll ask them, I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And they always retort, I've done the best I can. Well, that's no good. Because what if you get to heaven and find out you didn't do enough? It's too late to do anything about it then. But when we go to heaven, the Bible says we have the assurance of salvation. And where does that come from? That comes from our righteousness being in Christ. You know, the Bible says, if we abide in him, this is where our salvation comes from. It's not works, it's faith. And so there's a big difference in this. And so because I know I go to heaven because God is good and I'm in him, I never have to say, well, I've done the best I can. All I have to say is, well, he did the best for me he could possibly do, and I'm found in him. Not because I joined a church, not because I gave a lot of money, not because I got sealed in a temple or sold flowers in airports or whatever it might be. We go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross. And people say, well, I don't eat pork or I worship on Saturday. Yeah, so not eating pork, you might feel a little better. Worshiping on Saturday, well, that's great. But it's not wrong to worship on another day of the week. Right. See, this is where the problems come in. Look what I did. I'm Captain Shiny Buttons, and look how cool I am, God. Well, that's not how we go to heaven. The Bible says there's no good thing dwells in the flesh. We cannot save ourselves. I am incapable. All of us are incapable of generating righteousness. You know, going to be righteous, going to be righteous, going to be righteous. It's going to be righteous. It ain't going to work. Yeah. That doesn't make us righteous. What makes us righteous is Jesus has washed us in his blood. That makes us holy. I've given him permission to work in my life, and that advances. Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I always like to say, I'm saved not because I'm good. I'm saved because he's good.
Amen.
And I recognize that. I recognize the goodness of Christ that changed the wickedness in me. It's not my works. It's not my ability to follow scriptures. Man, it's the blood of Jesus that saved me and his goodness.
And you know, Joe, something else is that it's funny when we look at the life of Paul as an example. And the more he matured in the Lord, the more he became righteous. The more he understood God's righteousness, the more he realized he was a sinner.
Right. The chief.
Yeah, the chief.
The chief of sinners.
Yeah, he starts off as, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, and then when I look at Paul, I'm like, man, this is the most legit guy ever. You know what I mean? How he's serving the Lord and everything he's doing. I'm like, man, if anyone like could maybe earn salvation, it's the Apostle Paul. But he's like, no, I'm no good. I'm the chief of sinners. And just him understanding that. In fact, there's a scripture where he says, I forget what church he's writing to, but he says, I'm coming to you and I've wronged no one and I've hurt no one. But the reality is there was a time he was like a Christian bounty hunter. He was having Christians arrested and persecuted and killed. In fact, Stephen's death, he was there holding the coats. And yet he says, I've done no wrong. I've hurt no one. And that's because Paul had a grace perspective. Instead of looking at his life through his works, through his accomplishments, through his pedigree and him being a Roman citizen and from the tribe of Benjamin, all those different things, he saw himself through grace and he saw himself the way Christ saw him, which is a vessel. Even he says that, I'm an earthen vessel, a clay pot, and a clay pot eventually becomes a crack pot. He says, I'm a crackpot, but inside of me is this great treasure, which is the Holy Spirit. And so Paul recognized who he was without Christ.
Amen.
And we need to do the same.
Amen. So, Terry, I hope that helps.
Can I ask you one more quick question?
Yeah.
Just a question about our country. I feel like we're in for the, I could be wrong, but I feel like we're in for the same problems as Israel's had for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the stuff we're doing, because I feel like we are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah right now. And I mentioned that to a rabbi, and I said, well, we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, well, I beg to differ. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I don't know how I worded it to him, but I said, you can beg all you want. But I said, we got abortion, gay marriage, transgender, you know, prostitution, drugs, I mean, on and on and on and on. And I said, we're just as bad or worse. And he didn't like that, so we walked off.
Well, I believe that, again, the Bible talks about righteousness exalting a nation. But when the wicked are in power, the nation mourns. And this is the problem that we see. And, you know, we have the new Democrat socialist movement out that is promoting all kinds of ungodly stuff. And, you know, which is 100% contrary to the Constitution. And I, you know, rather than voting for this, these people are really traitors. I don't know. You know, we need some serious McCarthyism from the early 50s to go through and clean this stuff up, because it's pretty scary what they're saying. And they are bent on taking away your freedoms. And we have to be very much aware of it, all the while saying they're protecting democracy. I love the Bernie Sanders and all these guys that are avowed, you know, communists and socialists. Bernie spent his honeymoon in Russia, and they talk about, well, we want to protect democracy. Well, let me tell you something, pal. Democracy and communism in no way lines up together. This is the way it is. And yet they're the ones saying they're protecting democracy, when in reality they're promoting communist ideology. So this is where the problem, where the state will provide everything you need. You don't need God, because God doesn't exist. The state is why you live. And when you declare your allegiance to the state, then you get to have, you know, you get to ride on the buses and fly on the planes. And if you don't, you're just a little worker bee, and that's all you'll ever be. See, this is the problem. And you realize that there is an agenda, and we see it. Why is it that... In Twin Falls, Idaho here, a couple days ago, this past weekend, they had a bunch of high school kids down on some corner condemning ICE. This was all generated by the school system here. So, yeah, ICE, who are trying to enforce our laws, I mean, if you don't like the laws, then change them. They're just trying to enforce people that broke into our country illegally, and they're being out on the street doing this. What kind of brainwashing have these poor kids experienced in our schools in the heartland of America to be promoting criminal activity, saying it's good? The very people that are risking their lives trying to get these criminals out of our nation, they're bad. But criminals that break in your country and steal all your welfare and take away your houses and drive inflation through the roof because there's not enough houses, and so it's the supply of law and demand. Now the houses cost more because there's more people here, but there shouldn't be, because they came here illegally. I don't want to get into all the politics, but I'm saying, what in the world are these poor high school kids out doing on a street protesting ICE? Let me tell you, the agenda of the teachers union, all this stuff in America, friends, is pretty dark. And when you look at the American news media at a whole, they're awful. I don't know who the good guys are. I don't know who the bad guys are. But pretty much I look at whoever the American news media says is bad, I think they're good. And whoever the American news media says is good, I know they're bad. Now, I've seen enough of it to know that's the case. So, like I say, I really want to encourage everybody, keep your eye in the sky, man. I do believe the Lord's going to come back and take us home. I think the world's going to get what it's always wanted, a world without God. And the Bible said it's not a fit place to live. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. So this idea of the dawning of the age of Aquarius isn't going to be an age of Aquarius at all. It says if Jesus let the tribulation period go longer than 7 years, man would have completely annihilated himself. Wow, that's pretty scary. And then when you stop to think about, there's not a single weapon that man has ever invented that he's not used. Oh, boy, that's pretty scary, isn't it? Think about that. Think about all the ICBMs, and think about all the nuclear weapons all over the world. And you think, wow, you know, we are living in the last days, friends. I tell people, these aren't to scare us. It's so we realize, wake up. I believe God is saying, wake up. I'm coming soon, and be about your Father's business. The Bible says in the last days, what is evil, they'll say is good. And they'll say what is good is evil. Right now, if you have any kind of morality in your life, you're from the Victorian age, you're some Squaresville dude or girl, if you have any moral restraint at all, they say it's bad. And that's exactly what the Bible said they'd do. So, Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah. You know, there's a saying, and I think this pattern is true. It's that hard times make hard men, and hard men make good times, and good times make soft men, and soft men make hard times. And that pattern repeats after each other. And I think we see that in America. So as we see all this wokeness and craziness in our nation, I think at the same time, there's a younger generation, Gen Z, that's a little bit different. And they don't want the counterfeit. They don't want the fake. They want the real thing. They grew up in the COVID era and everything. They saw fake. They want the real now. And there's a hunger that they have for God. And another trend I'm noticing too is that a lot of the churches that are growing right now, that are growing in numbers, that are growing even on YouTube and views, the message that they're preaching is not a prosperity gospel or a feel-good message, but it's that we're sinners and we need Jesus. They're preaching against this woke culture. And I'm noticing that a lot of the churches growing right now are churches that are preaching the truth. So right now, as there is a worry, as we see abortion and this wokeness in our country, at the same time, I think there's a younger generation and even these younger pastors that are preaching the truth, and that there is hope in that, that hard times make hard men, and hard men make good times, and good times make soft men, but soft men make hard times. I think we're in the hard times with hard men, and good times is a possibility for our nation too. So I never count that out. Pastor Mike?
No, and I believe in revival, and I've seen it here in our own church. I've seen it there in your church, Joe, there in Hawaii. And I you know, there's a saying that people say, well, God's no respecter of persons. That's very true. But he is a respecter of commitment. And a lot of people don't understand that. God loves us all the same. He'll reach out to any of us, but it's your commitment. If you want to get serious with God, God will get really serious with you. And that's a really a cool thing. Terry, I hope that helps.
It's a very much. Thank you, Pastor. God bless.
God bless you. Let's go to Sean, Grants Pass, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, hey, I just had a question. This morning in my men's Bible study, we were talking about how Moses and John 3:14, 15, and 16, where Moses was lifted up as a serpent in the wilderness, and it said, whoever believes in him should not perish, in those verses. But we were talking about believing, and I know in Numbers there it talks about just all you had to do is look up and you would be healed from the snake bite. And then we were talking about that word, just believing in Jesus and you're saved. So just believe, it's not of works, it's just to believe in Jesus. And then my buddy was like, hey, but in James, it says, you know, even the demons believe. And so I didn't really know how to answer the difference in believing. So if you can help clarify that or help me answer people when they ask.
Yeah, it's the problem of English. And again, as an example, I'm going to rappel down the side of this mountain. I believe this is a rope. Well, I've seen ropes that have laid out in the sun for a couple of years. They wouldn't hold up 3 pounds. I believe it's a rope. Sure, it's a rope. But it won't support you. When we use the word, and in the Greek, the word there, believe, is to put all your faith, hope, and trust in, not to make acknowledgement of. And that's what the difference is. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, and I would agree, too. It's the Greek. It's relying upon, committing yourself to Christ. It's not just that intellectual belief, which is what James hits, that intellectual belief, that even the demons believe, they know God exists, but they're not placing their faith and relying on Christ. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, and that's where the issue comes from. And it's in the, going back to the original language, whether you're looking at Hebrew or Greek on that, again, the demons believe and tremble. The demons acknowledge that God exists, but they're not putting all their faith, hope, and trust in. And again, if I'm going to rappel down the side of a mountain, I say, I believe in this rope. I'm saying, I believe this thing's going to hold me up. My life depends on it. There's a big difference in acknowledgement and putting your faith, hope, and trust in something. And that's where the issue there. And where Jesus said in John 3:16, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The word there for believe is to put all your faith, hope, and trust in. That's what that's talking about. John, I hope that answers it for you. Sharon and Alberto, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Joe, thanks so much. Look forward to Sunday morning with you.
Yes.
God bless you. And so until then, may the Lord keep in his love. God bless you. Everybody have a good night. Bye-bye.
357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.